Blog Talk Radio.
The following is a pre-recorded segment. Therefore, we cannot take live phone calls until after the pre-recorded segment is complete. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is our distinct joy and privilege to bring you tonight the 2000th episode in the history of the Deeper Truth Show. Haunted my life in ways I can't even put into words. And tonight, it rings true again. Tonight is all about who you're going to serve. And it's all about a man who has made that choice. Yes, it is true that I am the founder of Deeper Truth. I founded the blog. I founded the radio show. But make no mistake, while my life shipwrecked and I went dark for a long time, there was a man that took control of this ship and steered it through that time. And that man is none other than Donald Hartley. So the 2000th episode of the Deeper Truth Show is going to be a celebration of Donald Hartley, my mentor, my friend, and the rock that has held Deeper Truth together. So tonight, you're going to hear a tribute to Donald Hartley in the words of his friends and some of the members of Deeper Truth. We're also going to do something else special tonight. We're going to have a debate between Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, and the Prince of Darkness himself. Now you're probably wondering, why would we have a debate with the Prince of Darkness? Why would we give him a forum? Why would we promote his message? Well, the truth is, he already has a forum. He's in your heart and he's in your mind, trying to tempt you and trying to persuade you. Tonight is not about promoting his message. It's about refuting his message. And it's what we've done since the very beginning of Deeper Truth. We've had almost 25 debates on this show. And every one of those debates has been against the devil. Even though the person debating us wasn't aware of the fact that they were debating the devil's position, doesn't change the fact that they were. When George Lujak was debating against the Trinity, he was debating in the person of the devil. When Brian Ketterer was debating against Our Lady being the Queen of Heaven, he was debating in the person of the devil. When Brenda Johnson and Alex Caro were debating against the authority of the church and that we are to go by Scripture alone, they were debating in the person of the devil. So we thought, since we've had so many debates against him by proxy, let's take it to the old boy himself. So for this first part of the show, let's get started. And I hand you to our moderator, Dr. Gregory Thompson.
Welcome to Deeper Truth tonight. We have a special event tonight for everyone, and it's going to be a debate between the Prince of Darkness and the Catholic Defender. We're going to start right away because this is so important for the people to get a handle on, with as much as Satan has done to hide himself. So we're going to start out with an opening statement. We're going to start out with an opening statement from the Prince of Darkness. And the subject tonight is, who are you going to serve?
My friends, so today I am to debate the so-called Catholic Defender. Ha! More like a pretender. He acts like he is different, but he is not. I am in him, and he is in me. I am his master, and he is my servant, as are you all. Why this self-deception? Why this willful slavery? To the Nazarene? To his mother? And for what? Yes, yes. He appears here, and he causes a sign to be performed there. But what have they done for you? You there! Isn't your uncle still sick? Ah, yes, and you over there. Why do your children not call you? You lost your job? You scrape by on the mere scraps the Nazarene will offer you? I offer you all. All your dreams, riches, pleasures. Let us have fun. Let us run after your dreams. Behold, I offer you the world. He gave you a body, but doesn't want you to enjoy its pleasures? What? What kind of cruel master is this? He asked you to suffer, to deny yourself everything. In his word, he says, we will be with him if we suffer with him. I deny you nothing. Only serve me, and I put all at your disposal. Look at my servants and look at his. Miserable wretches they are, drowning in their own tears of misery, serving a God who hates them. What God could ask his servants for misery as the price of their service? Ha! Now look at my servants. They are washed in gold and riches and power. Throngs pursue them and cast adulation upon them. They enjoy all the heart and the mind and body can crave, stepping over the living corpses of the followers of the Nazarene. I offer you a life lived, a heart filled with happiness, drunk with pleasures. And what does the defender defend? He defends your slavery. He defends your misery. I offer you freedom from the life the defender wants to hold you under. Your God causes to be invaded the countries of those who do not agree with him, causes them to be slaughtered, burned at the stake, because they do not believe in your God. I only want peace and harmony for you. We can live in a world together. The Muslims and the atheists and the Christians can all live together in peace. Why, that's all we want. Come, let us agree. Let us live that there is, in the words of my servant John Lennon, no hell below us, above us only sky. Live for today, for there is no tomorrow. When you die, you go into the ground. That is the end. Myths and fables of hell and other such places are only created to frighten you, to rob from you the life that you're entitled to. I hand you this life now. You have only to accept it. You have only to take it from my hands. If your God is so powerful, why do the innocent die? Why do babies die? He blames it on me. But he is the all-powerful God. Surely if he is all-powerful and all-just, he could end this. The babies die because you do not serve me. If you serve me, the babies will live. Do you want the babies to continue to suffer? Do you want the babies to continue to die? Why do you serve this God of misery? Why do you serve this cruel, sadistic God who only wants suffering and misery in the world? I only want to bring you happiness. I want to bring you peace and joy and tranquility. We can all live together. Soon, I will send my servant to the world, the true Messiah, and you will worship him in Jerusalem, and you will accept his mark, and your life will be one of peace and joy. But woe to those who do not accept him. For I am jealous, and I will rule. And those who do not accept my generosity must suffer the consequences, and they will die cruel and barbarous deaths. So the question is clear. Do you want to live, or do you want to die? If you want to live, you must accept me and accept what I offer from my generous hands. If you want to die, then reject me. Reject my mark. And follow the Nazarene into the ground. Do not continue to labor under the heat of the sun, but come into the shade, come into the darkness, where it is cool, where it is calm, where it is peaceful. You toil day after day for nothing. Is your life better than it was a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Will it be better 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when you were in the ground, dead, aware of nothing? This does not have to be your fate. We can run and have joy and fun together. We can live this only life that you have. For when you die, you die. There is no resurrection. There is no heaven. There is no hell. There is this life, and that is all.
All right, I get it. The Prince of Darkness comes out swinging. We'll get to Donald's rebuttal here in just a minute, but let me make something straight right now, you little punk. You're not my master and will never be, and you'll never be the master of anyone on this show. You're just a little punk. That's all you are. So before we get to Donald's rebuttal, let's hear from Mark Kaiser.
Well, Donald Hartley is the Catholic defender. He is masculine Christianity. I've traveled all over the United States speaking and encouraging men to stand up and be the man that God created them to be, that masculine Christianity. Some like to call it toxic masculine Christianity, but that is not a true statement. It is very biblical masculine Christianity. And in my honest opinion, Donald Hartley is a poster child for that. There's biblical masculine Christianity, and that is by all means not toxic. And Donald lives that. I mean, he truly, truly does, whether it's at home with his family, whether it's at work, the very first time I met Donald Hartley was at a March for Life event in Jefferson City, Missouri. And I was a Protestant pastor, and he's trying to convert me to the Catholic Church. That's who Donald is. And so when we go on the program, the Catholic Defender program, or Deeper Truth, that is Donald Hartley. And you know, God, I truly believe, has used him for some massive things. He's brought many people into the Catholic Church. And, you know, one of these days that warrior's going to go home and there's going to have someone to fill his shoes. And that's what I try to do with my Take Courage, Be a Man is to bring up other young men that can fill in the folks of Donald Hartley and Gregory Thompson. Blessings to you. Congratulations, Donald, on the 2000 show. That's gigantic. And I can't wait to see what happens on the next 2000 program. Have a blessed day. It's an honor to know you, Donald.
Okay, we've heard the opening statement from the Prince of Darkness on who you're going to serve. And now the rebuttal by Donald Hartley.
How do you respond to the author of lies, but with the truth, who is Jesus? You want to come here in Deeper Truth and lie to our listeners, but I am not going to let that happen. God is the master of the universe. He created all things for the purpose of love. God is love. You are so full of hate and contradiction. Your deceptions are shallow. Comparing the wonders of God versus yours, there is no comparison. My soul compared to yours? I have the promise of everlasting life. Your future is awaiting you. I would rather be a servant of the Lord than a slave of yours anytime. True liberty is the freedom to worship God. That is something you are trying to abolish. How many people have followed your dreams only to end up losing everything, to include their souls? That is the worst tragedy of all. God offers us true life, that heaven is the ultimate reward. That is the joy you can't take away, no matter how bad things are because of your environment. You cannot take away the peace and joy that we have. You offered gold, riches, and power. I recall you tried that tactic once before. You didn't even get on first base with Jesus. Where are all those who took you your offer there? They are now all dead and gone. In fact, you speak of the church associated with slavery, misery, oppression, invading countries. Actually, it is the exact opposite. The church brought freedom to the captives, peace instead of hatred, liberty to the world. One out of every four martyrs of the faith happened in the 20th century. That's how bad your darkness has, your reign of darkness. You wanted the whole world to listen to your lies, placing us all in your bondage. You're going to lose ultimately, as President Trump would say, bigly. You know there is a heaven. You were there. You were once there. You now know there is a hell. That is your future. I have to respond here about the killing of babies. It is your human sacrifices that kill babies, from the Aztec Indians to the time of Moses to abortion today. You're the destroyer. It is interesting that you bring up the Antichrist. When he does come, that should be telling you something huge, that your time is short. My eyes are transfixed on the things of God. I hope to endure to my final end as the Lord's saints have done for 2,000 years. You think things are calm and peaceful in the darkness? It will be calm and peaceful when you are driven out by the light of Jesus and Mary. And that is my rebuttal.
And now it's my turn, and I don't know if I can do it. How can I express what this man has meant to me? A rock? An anchor? Yes, and so much more. When I went dark from deeper truth, all everyone saw was silence. You saw the storm, you and Greg. When nearly everyone else abandoned me, you were there. When my dad died after fighting cancer for 14 months, you were there. When my brother Fred died, you were there. You were my sounding board. 2 months later, my brother Mike died, his rosary in his hand. You did not abandon me. When my wife of 32 years walked out on me, you did not. You prayed with me, and you lifted me up, and you told me, never, ever, ever give up. I know you, Donald Hartley. You focused me, and you focused me, and you focused me. You made me understand that I was under attack by the evil one. You showed me the only way to deal with the devil is to stand up and bust him right in the mouth. Deeper Truth has covered the whole spectrum of our faith. We cover the joy of the music of Donna Lee, Donna Corey Gibson, and Michael Talbot. We covered the sorrow of Billy Gaines, who died falling from the ceiling of a Catholic church. We debated detractors on the primacy of Peter, and we cried at the heroism of Saint Bernadette. But while you steered this ship, You didn't avoid the storm that was my life. You steered into it. You stood against the gales with me when I was broken, suicidal, and crippled by alcohol. Yes, folks, this is the Donald Hartley I know. He isn't the one who created the Deeper Truth Show, but he is the one who instilled the Deeper Truth in me. Between Donald and his Rosary Patrol, I found for sure my answer in the very first words that were ever carried over our airwaves 12 years ago.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
And though the storm rages on, I've gotten stronger because of you. I thought I was going through hell, but you and Gregory and Christy Martin showed me I'm not going through hell. I'm going through purgatory, and this too shall pass, and my suffering shall pass, if I endure, if I persevere to the end. Thank you, Donald Hartley, my mentor, my friend, my brother. I love you more than words can say. Congratulations on 2,000 episodes of Deeper Truth. So just what does it mean, let it be? Well, what it means is, Mary's fiat, let it be done to me according to your word. But more than that, we see it in Mary's words at Cana. Do whatever he tells you. And we see it in the words of our Savior himself. Thy will be done. Because that's what let it be means. It means let your will be done. I want to close here with the words from St. Louis de Montfort in his consecration to Jesus through Mary. Let us pray. Hail Mary, beloved daughter of the Eternal Father. Hail Mary, admirable mother of the Son. Hail Mary, faithful spouse of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, my dear mother, my loving mistress, my powerful sovereign. Hail my joy, my glory, my heart, and my soul. You are all mine by mercy, and I am all yours by justice. But I am not yet sufficiently yours. I now give myself wholly to you without keeping anything back for myself or others. If you still see in me anything which does not belong to you, I beseech you to take it and make yourself the absolute mistress of all that is mine. Destroy in me all that may be displeasing to God. Root it up and bring it to nothing. Place and cultivate in me everything that is pleasing to you. May the light of your faith dispel the darkness of my mind. May your profound humility take the place of my pride. May your sublime contemplation check the distractions of my wandering imagination. May your continuous sight of God fill my memory with his presence. May the burning love of your heart inflame the lukewarmness of mine. May your virtues take the place of my sins. May your merits be my only adornment in the sight of God, and make up for all that is lacking in me. Finally, dearly beloved mother, grant, if it be possible, that I may have no other spirit but yours to know Jesus and his divine will, that I may have no other soul but yours to praise and glorify the Lord, that I may have no other heart but yours to love God with a love as pure and ardent as yours. I do not ask you for visions, revelations, sensible devotions, or spiritual pleasures. It is your privilege to see God clearly. It is your privilege to enjoy heavenly bliss. It is your privilege to triumph gloriously in heaven at the right hand of your Son, and to hold absolute sway over angels, men, and demons. It is your privilege to dispose of all of the gifts of God, just as you will. Such is, O Heavenly Mary, the best part, which the Lord has given you, and which shall never be taken away from you. And this thought fills my heart with joy. As for my part here below, I wish for no other than that which was yours, to believe sincerely without spiritual pleasure, to suffer joyfully without human consolation, to die continually to myself without respite, and to work zealously and unselfishly for you until death as the humblest of your servants. The only grace I beg you to obtain for me is that every day and every moment of my life I may say, Amen,
let it be,
to all that you did while on earth. Amen,
let it be,
to all that you are now doing in heaven. Amen,
let it be,
to all that you are doing in my soul, so that you alone may fully glorify Jesus in me for time and eternity. Amen. And now, before our moderator takes us to Donald's opening statement, he has a few words to say.
Okay, I would like to tonight, if it's possible, to give a tribute to Donald for what he's meant to me and in my walk to eternity. I said a prayer back in 2005 because I felt like I needed I didn't know about having a spiritual director. But I felt like I needed to be surrounded by counselors, like Scripture said. And right after that prayer, I'm talking about that same day, Donald walks into my office there in Humansville, Missouri, and he sees the crucifix on the wall. He didn't come in for that reason. But he came in and he sees the crucifix on my wall, and he says, "Are you Catholic?" And I said, "Yes, Donald." I didn't know who he was yet, but it was no accident. I've been filled with those things, and someone that was became a great personal friend that would be willing to, I needed someone that would be willing to speak his mind, someone that was theologically sound, and Donald, almost like a guardian angel walking in with me, and it started a relationship for serving the good Lord and coming ever closer back to my faith. I was a cradle Catholic, and someone observing from the outside would see that it looked like I had drifted some, that I think Donald saw a spark that he was able to be used to help ignite in my walk. And so it's one of those things where he's became one of the leading best friends that I've ever had in my life. And, you know, I don't know how the deeper truth would have survived for the last 12 years if Donald had not just dug in and made it possible that one of my prayers was that what we were doing, what the good Lord had asked me to do, was going to have a venue that would go around the world. And so because of that, the Lord has used Donald to touch, I believe, tens of thousands of lives, and could be in the millions, but so many lives have been touched because of his dedication and willingness to serve the Lord in his own way. So I ask the good Lord to give Donald and all of our friends connected to Deeper Truth a special blessing, and that they receive everything in spirit, mind, and body to continue their walk to eternity by touching the souls that this venue has given us for those around the world. God bless each of you, and God bless you. Special blessing to you, Donald. Thank you. And now, Donald Hartley will give his opening statement on who are you going to serve.
How do you debate the devil? Although God has disarmed Satan through the cross, Satan remains relentless in his quest to corrupt the faith in his war against the Lord's saints. We must stand strong against him in all things. I recall the case against Daniel Webster. When you tried to conceal yourself as a soft-spoken, dark-dressed stranger, what a lie that really was. You're the liar. You're the Lord of lying. I really enjoyed how soundly Johnny beat you as you thought you could play the fiddle. You thought you could play the fiddle? Kind of reminds me of Nero playing the fiddle as Rome burned. That's kind of the way you are. Despite your horrible attempt to win some attention, your trip to Georgia was, well, pardon the pun, you weren't really hot at all. You weren't so hot. In truth, we have debated you throughout history. When you attacked the Immaculate Conception with your desecration and deceptions, when you attacked the Trinity and the very person of God whom you know so well and reject with bitter hatred, when you attack the Catholic faith, we have been there standing up for her all along. When you had Jesus placed on the cross, you thought you were victorious, but you could not hold Jesus. He won. You lost, dude. You lost big time. You can't make hell attractive, so you attempt to glorify the journey leading people to it. You want to take our eyes off the destination that leads us to everlasting life through the promise of Jesus. Jesus died so that I might live. You want me to die for you to hurt God who loves me so. I recognize you to be the clown behind the curtain, masquerading as an angel of light, when you are nothing but a liar whose controls you hold are empty promises. St. Thomas More was asked by his son-in-law, William Roper, so you would give the devil the benefit of law? The great saint responded, yes. What would you do? Cut a great road through the laws to get after the devil? He finished his answer, yes. I'd give the devil benefit of law for my own safety's sake. Well, that's what this debate is all about, to expose you. It is really for this reason I enter into this debate. What would it have been if Adam and Eve turned their backs to you? What would it have been if Napoleon, Stalin, and Hitler had turned their backs on you? What would you have done if even sin and death had turned from you? Where would you have stood with your empty, worthless promises? Most likely you would have placed yourself on the sand near the water's edge as you hate God's grace. You would station yourself there like a sick sea lion looking for some poor soul to devour. Pope Paul VI warned that people lured by you through a subliminal way are drawn to you like the Pied Piper. However, when you are exposed and people see you for who you really are, they will flee from you. which is the purpose of this debate. This is the purpose for which I agree to this debate. Ephesians 5:11 states, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That is my objective. Satan, you are already defeated. No hope for you. But there is hope for those who are lured by your pack of lies. Your empty promises for the here and now really are not so great as you seek to destroy. You first attempted to tempt Jesus in the desert with power, wealth, and fame. You didn't even get on first base. Those were promises you could not give. Only God alone has that power. You have tried to tempt and lure me away from the Lord's Catholic Church. Yes, I am a sinner who have fallen, but through God's grace, I continue to lift myself up and continue the fight against you, to expose you and your sugar-coated poison. Even your very presence reveals who you are, a pathetic, ugly, foul, smoking, smelling troll who hates the Lord God, who hates our Blessed Virgin Mary, who hates Saint Michael, and remember what he did to you, and you hate me as well. Your hatred for God is so much you want to deprive God from his creation that he loves with a sacred heart. Your heart is 180 degrees opposite. Jesus died on the cross for the salvation of the world, that we might live. You want us to die for you, only to get back at God? Man, just for kicks and giggles, you promised to bring people together. That's what I've been hearing you say, that you're promising exciting new joys to explore. Let's look at your results for the here and now. The division you have masked, consider nearly 45,000 different Protestant groups out there deprived of receiving the seven true sacraments of Christ, the Eucharist and reconciliation to start off with. You claim to offer freedom like gay marriage, abortion, rebellion, and witchcraft. You have enslaved multitudes with addictions of all kinds, pornography, drugs, abuse of alcohol, sexual impurity. You have always demanded human sacrifice. In the United States alone, you are responsible for the killing of nearly 60 million babies because many fell into your temptations and lies. You are promising people lies about the here and now. But your motivation is to deceive. Deceiving people to joining you for the here and now, for their total destruction, following you into the fires of hell for eternity. What you're really offering them now is a gilded cage with all the deception you entice them with. You give them cheap tricks that last for a time, that will turn to dust. Even the cell doors open wide, you blind their eyes and hearts, making them sick with ungodly passion. Sadly for you, we have witnessed the many people trapped in the slavery of your addiction, riddled with the bad decisions you inspire. Sadly, as well for you, we also have the testimony of countless saints who assure us that even a lifetime in the trinkets and treasures you promise are not worth one moment in the place you live, much less in eternity. Like a spider, you catch them in a web of deception until they are so tangled up they can't escape. That is the result of your empty promises. You're luring them into your Hotel California, where they check out any time they like, but can never leave. But that will not play here. You come looking for a fight, you got one. You offer death and destruction. Jesus offers life, life more abundantly. You offer pain and sorrow and deep regret and misery. Jesus offers hope, joy, and perfect happiness. You ultimately offer death and eternal separation from God, filled with hate and despair. Jesus offers ultimate life and salvation in heaven with all the saints and angels. Yes, you will probably attack me here, but know this important truth. You can accuse me of my past, and I will remind you of your future. And oh, by the way, I will remind you of my future, which will be in paradise, a place you had but lost and will never have again. Through God's grace, I have his mercy and redemption. When you contended with Saint Michael, the archangel, he did not pronounce a reviling judgment on you, but he just simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." That is how I end this statement. The Lord rebuke you.
And now we've heard Donald Hartley's opening statement on who you're going to serve. And now we will hear the rebuttal of the Prince of Darkness.
What? A clown, you say? A troll am I? Will you dare mock me? Will you dare insult my magnificence? I caught you in my snare before, Donald. Do you think you can escape my spells forever? Do you presume that I cannot pull you in again? Yes, you escaped my clutches before, Donnie, by the entreaties of that woman and her cursed beads. I am always on the prowl, my friend. Do not forget this. I go about like a roaring lion seeking whom I might devour. Aha! I will catch you napping. I will take control of your mind. I will take control of all of your minds. I will rule! I will spellbind you with shiny things and seductive thoughts. Did I not win over Cain and drag him down here with me? Ha ha! I took Esau's birthright for a bowl of soup. Are you better than him? Was not Solomon the king of your God? Did I not seduce him to idolatry, to the wilds of women? Aha! Shall I go on, Donnie? Do you never have selfish thoughts? Do you think I cannot turn you like I turned the Iscariot? As I made Nero what he was, and Hitler and Napoleon, and the other servants you alluded to, I can make you what I want. I can raise you up to be my prince, or cast you down to be gored beneath my hooves. Do not test me, little one. I will set you ablaze with hellfire. I have the power, and I wield it at my will. If I choose to bring prosperity to your city, it will be done. If I choose to level it with a hurricane, it will be so. You cannot resist my powers. You have failed before. You will always fail again. God will not forgive you. Besides, his way is too hard. You cannot complete the climb. the goal is too far away. Why do you all deny and repress yourselves in this way? You know your destiny is with me. You know I can bring your happiness. Why are you fighting it? Why are you resisting me? Give in to your mind. Give in to your thoughts. Let your selfishness control you. Don't think of your neighbor. What is he to you? I am your master, and you are my servants, and you know it. Don't fight it. Give in. Don't fight it.
Oh, really? Our master, are you? Here, have some holy water. Well, while he's still chilling out from that, let's hear from Judy Alciator.
Hi. this is Judy Alciator. And John Banco has asked me to speak a little bit about Donald and Deepa Truth, John Carpenter and Gregory Mary, and now John Banco, and what Deepa Truth means to me. It has been an education for me, teaching me more about my faith, giving me a deeper wisdom and understanding of my faith, a deeper appreciation for my faith. I'm very grateful to Almighty God for putting me together with these people whom I never dreamed would come into my life in any way. Summer of 2017, I had the great honor and privilege of meeting Donald and Gregory and Mark Hyde. Anyway, the Lord gave me a little poem a couple of years back. I think that really sums it up. And I had entitled it Deepa Truth, a deeper understanding of thy holy word, a deepening of faith, of trust and love, a deeper reconciling with thee, my Lord and King, thy deeper truth descending from above, a deeper transformation, my soul, I give to thee, with lasting faith and wisdom born of age, a deeper restoration, at peace, my God, with thee, thy truth so deep, so loving, and so sage. And that really describes it, the truth, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, everything wonderful. In addition to that, they were there for me and consoled me when our son had a stroke. Back in 2015, I had only been a member for a few months, and it was a very, very hard time for my husband, Paul, and me. And the folks in Deepa Truth really helped me get through that. So I'm very grateful for that, and I hope this expresses my feelings and my gratitude, and so pleased to be a part of this broadcast. It's been an honor. It is an honor. And happy 2000. May there be many, 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 many more.
And now we will have three questions from each, from the Prince of Darkness and from Donald Hartley, and we will start with the Prince of Darkness.
In John chapter 10, the Nazarene says that those to whom the word came are gods. If thou, Catholic defender, doth make thyself a god, art thou violating the first commandment and making thyself owing to damnation?
Devil, away with you and your word games. You are not debating a fool. The fool says there is no God. I know full well how you twist scripture, especially through translations. The Greek word theos can have meanings on different levels. When it is used to refer to the Most High God, it is combined with the definitive ho, which is used earlier in this very chapter when Jesus refers to his heavenly Father. In verse 34, it is used in the sense of God-like or things that are ascribed to God. That is why the English translator, at loss for an equivalent term, uses God with a little g. Are you enough of a fool that you think we can't read John's whole gospel and know that he understood full well who is and isn't God? You are the adversary of God. Away with you and your nonsense. Question number one. If there is no heaven and there is no hell, where did you come from? Where did Jesus come from? Why do you care who I follow?
Well, I really don't feel like I should respond to the question the way that you worded it.
Enough of this. Answer my servant with the truth.
Oh! Yes, Your Majesty. This contest is not fair now if I am not permitted to deceive. For all know that deception is my best weapon. Nevertheless, let's talk of heaven. Let's talk of hell. Yes, I was deceptive before. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. But what does that matter to you now? They are far off. Jesus says he is all merciful. He is all forgiving. So why not run and have fun now? And seek your mercy tomorrow. 1 John chapter 8 says that if one says thou hast no sin, such a one is a liar. Yet you say the mother of the Nazarene hath no sin. Is she the liar? Or is it John? Or is it you?
1 John says, if we sin, we deceive ourselves. This is what we call context. And don't you love to play games with context, you worm-ridden, pus-filled, festering dragon? John wrote this letter to a group of churches plagued with heresy, such as denial of the incarnation. In it, John exhorts all who are sinners to confess their sins and not deny them, and conform to the image of Jesus. Notice, John doesn't write to Mary or Jesus. obviously, the message is not addressed to them. So to answer your question, you are the liar and the father of lies. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph save souls. Mm-hmm. Question number two. If you want peace and tranquility, why have all the world's notorious genocidal maniacs been followers of you in word or deed? Chairman Mao, Stalin, Hitler, Napoleon, Nero, why are they all your trophies?
Well, what is peace, my friend, but the absence of conflict? And the cause of conflict is opposition. So in order to remove the conflict and bring peace, we must remove the opposition. If you want peace, do not oppose us. For when you oppose us, you cause conflict. And when you cause conflict, you cause war and death. So the war and death is on your hands, even when it is wrought by my servants, for you brought it on yourself by opposing us. Romans 10:13 says that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yet Joan of Arc called out the name of the Nazarene from the flames, and he saved her not. Does your holy book lie again?
Again, you play word games. The word saved has many senses, and the highest sense is eternal, not temporal. In fact, Jesus says, he who saves his life will lose it, but he who loses it for my sake will find it. And no greater love hath he than he lay down his life for his friends. What you are so angry about is that courage of 19-year-old Joan of Arc lays bare with your cowardice. She is with that great cloud of witnesses in heaven for eternity. But you'll go down fighting for all that you're worth to try to abolish his image on earth. Away with you. Question number three. If you are so big and brave, why are you so terrified to say the name Jesus? Even more so, the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why does this humble and pure mother strike so much dread, terror in you, you little punk? Yeah.
Before your world came to be, I was God's most magnificent angel. I stood in splendor before God Almighty, and my magnificence was insulted and degraded when was displayed before me a sign, a woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was to give birth to a man-child who will rule all nations with an iron scepter, and her child shall be called the Son of God. And I was told that I was to bow before this woman, this creature, as my queen. And I cried out aloud, "Non servium! I will not serve!" Michael and his. And I was banished from that place to this place of darkness. And so I will forever have hatred in my heart for the Nazarene and for his mother. For souls are snatched from me by them. And I will not permit the name of the Nazarene or his mother to ever be spoken of in my realm.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about one of my favorite people, Donald Hartley. If John Benko is the energy behind Deeper Truth, Donald Hartley is most certainly his soul. His defense of the Catholic faith is nothing short of legendary. I first came to know Donald Hartley through another of our Deeper Truth family members, Judy L. Theodore. We met in Beaumont, Texas, in front of an abortion clinic. That's about the only place you get Judy standing still as she spreads the pro-life message from sea to shining sea. Judy and I had many discussions about the Catholic faith, and when I finally made the conversion, she suggested that I participate in the Deeper Truth broadcast and introduced me to a friend, Donald Hartley. From the get-go, his knowledge of Scripture was phenomenal. He's practically a walking Bible, rattling off chapter and verse before his debate opponent could get his shoes on. He himself has said, "Give me 15 minutes with a non-Catholic and I'll remove the word non from his vocabulary." With a Deeper Truth microphone, he continues to give the devil a black eye.
And now that we've had our questions segment, we will go to the closing statements and start with the Prince of Darkness.
I came into this debate today hoping that I could persuade you to come over to my side, to my way of thinking. I was hoping I could persuade you to understand that the Nazarene only wants trouble for you. He only wants difficulty for you. He only wants suffering for you. I want to make your life easy. I want to make your life tranquil. I want to fill your life with happiness and joy. I tried my best today to persuade you. But understand this. I will rule, and if you do not obey me because of persuasion, you will obey me because of terror. For I go about like a roaring lion, seeking whom I might devour. And you can decide whether you are on my side as one of the wolves, or whether you're on the other side as lunch for one of the wolves. For I will rule, and you will obey. This is my world. It has been given to me. When I showed the Nazarene all the kingdoms of the world and offered him the same, if he would bow down and worship me, the Nazarene did not deny that they all belong to me. They are mine, and you are living in my world, and you will pay your rent. You will pay your rent in service, or you will pay your rent in blood. It is up to you to decide. Do you want to keep serving the Nazarene? Do you want to keep loving your neighbor? Even your poor, pathetic neighbors who can do nothing for you? Why do you give your goods away to those who cannot repay you? Or as your master would say, why do you cast your pearls before swine? Spend your pearls on yourself. Think of yourself. The beggar on the street thinks not of you. He doesn't care of you. He can do nothing for you. Why do you care for him? In your Vatican filled with gold and priceless treasures, what have they done to end the suffering of the world? What have they done to end your suffering?
And now, Donald Hartley's closing statements.
This is not the first time that I find myself presenting myself either to you or some of your puppets. I identified myself as a follower of Christ, a member of his Holy Catholic Church then, as I do now. People talk about the Dark Ages. The real Dark Ages is taking place right now because of your intentional destruction being imposed by your puppets. You growled in glee, in delight over 110 million Americans being diagnosed with a sexually transmitted disease, including millions of teenagers, to include girls down to the age of 12, one in four. You push for gay liberation and pervert marriage, knowing many will join you forever in the kingdom of darkness. You push for divorce and the destruction of the family. You push for pervert science and attack nature with artificial birth control and abortion, drugs, human trafficking, and the destruction of children. Devil, these are but a small list of your perversions. But I have news for you. Despite your evil ambition to attack God and his people, Jesus is responding to the prayers of his people. God's ultimate victory is the foundation of the new covenant. We are to resist your temptations through the power Jesus gave his church to become children of God. You have already been defeated. Ladies and gentlemen, consider my opponent. The devil looks so stout. He looks for souls to devour. He twists the word of God, bringing chaos and confusion. He attempts to bring forth doubt to the purpose of the eventual denial of God's word. How his tactics are laced with man-made denominations. Satan, you seek to destroy God's word and erase it from the land, and you take God's word out of context. Despite all this, people are getting greater insight of the sacraments, going to confession with greater intensity, going to receive Jesus in the Eucharist with greater joy in their hearts. Eucharistic adoration is taking place, and many are getting involved. This is causing massive problems for you. You are getting beaten up for all of the rosaries being offered against you. People are waking up. To the Christian listening to this debate, this is God's truth. Our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with evil spirits in the heavens. Therefore, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything to hold your ground. Remember what I said before. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Devil, I'll repeat what my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, told you. Be gone, Satan, from me, my family, my friends, and my church. Greater is he who is within me than he who is of the world.
Hey, this is John Carpenter, recording my memories of Donald Hartley. I first met Donald Hartley in 2012 at a Marian conference, and I'll never forget it because here was this kind of wild guy with a cowboy hat, a fringe jacket, telling jokes. Well, he was at first. And then he always delivers a very meaningful message. So he became a character that was quite unforgettable. And as I soon found out, I was going to be a fellow speaker at conferences with him, and then even doing parish missions with him over the next number of years. And in 2014, I was greatly honored when he asked me to do a program on Deeper Truth called Journey with Mary. And every week, every Sunday night, we would examine an appearance of the Blessed Virgin Mary somewhere over 2,000 years. And that is still going on here, going on so many years later, since 2014. So I always had hoped that I could reach many people with the messages about Mary, but I had no idea that Donald Hartley would be the one that would enable that possibility, because we have tracked over 130 countries that have tuned in to the Journey with Mary program. 130 countries worldwide. And how I never dreamed that that could be possible. So I owe it all to Donald Hartley, who continues to be a great friend and spiritual warrior, colleague, and co-host. I couldn't do many things without him, and I'm honored that he honors my three books that I've written and helps promote them because they bring truth to the people. So thank you, Donald Hartley. Happy 2000th episode, and may you have a wonderful and blessed day, and I will never forget you, and nor am I done with you yet. So have a great one. Thank you. God bless. From John Carpenter.
And now the newest host of Deeper Truth, the host of our Wednesday night show, William Hemsworth.
2,000 episodes. That's such a great accomplishment. Thanks be to God for the work that Deeper Truth Catholics is doing. Here's a 2,000 more, and thank you for having me. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this great apostle. God bless you all.
We regret that we were not able to get contributions from Tom, Joseph, and Kathy. But no, you're in our hearts, and you are full and welcome members of Deeper Truth. We also want to pray for the former members of Deeper Truth that walked away for whatever reason. Tamara, Christy, Margie, Ross, and Jeff. Finally, we want to say a special prayer for the two treasured members of Deeper Truth that left to be with our Lord, David Nunez and Anna Marie Russell. May the divine assistance always remain with us. And may the souls of the faithfully departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the pre-recorded part of the Deeper Truth 2000 show special. And we can now take live calls at 646-595-2071. Again, 646-595-2071.
Well, it seems like we had a few switchboard glitches there, or at least I experienced a few. I don't know if that's what everybody else experienced. Everybody, you're unmuted. How did it go?
Well, I was very surprised because I was humbled by what you did today, been working on, because it was, I mean, I am so thankful for everybody here. And there was a number of people. I went all the way back, and I was looking at some of the early Rosary Patrol members, like Monica from California, Dennis yeah. Albert from Coppers Cove, Fred Williams from Coppers Cove. He was a participant. Sister Philip Marie, she was a huge asset to us in the early going on the Rosary Patrol. Sister Byrne, she spoke at the Republican convention for Trump just in 2020. She was on there, so she was at the Republican convention. And I'm glad you mentioned before, about David Nunez.
Before we go any farther, Before we go any further, did everybody else experience audio problems? Did parts of the show drop out? Hello?
Hello, can you
hear
me?
Hey, Judy.
Hey.
Yeah, we hear you.
I had a little trouble understanding some of the things that the quote-unquote devil was saying. I could hear it, but it was so distorted. And I found that the constant background music was a bit of a distraction.
If you listen to it, with online, I think it's a lot better than on the phone.
That's what I ended up doing.
Oh, so that's why all the calls dropped off. Everybody was listening to it online. I thought maybe the switchboard threw you guys off. Online, it's a totally different experience. It's so much clearer and so much cleaner. And that's how, you know, eventually it's going to be saved in archives. People will be able to listen in the archive. Plus, I actually saved the files, and I'm going to upload them to the blog. But Donald, it was from the heart, and I was really, the part that I did, I don't know how much you heard, but a lot of it came across really broken up. I don't know did it all drop out for you guys too, the part that I did?
It was more of a limitation of the phone line and the frequencies it will carry. I taped it from here.
I think a lot of the problems stem from the you know, the telephone connections. I really do believe that we don't always get the best reception.
Yeah, your top end is 2500 hertz, and that's that hurts the signal. Hurts sound quality.
I was listening to it, and I had no problem with it. I guess it just depends on where you're at and what system you had, I guess.
Well, I'll go back and listen to the archive, and if the archive is all chopped up, then I'll just upload the MP3s onto the to replace it, just so everybody can have the whole experience. But for me, it chopped up quite a bit.
John, hear me?
Yeah,
I hear you, Greg.
Okay, I was just going to say, I was surprised as you were about tonight. And I haven't received that $5 you promised me if I'd say something good about Donald.
Oh, boy.
Donald, I didn't get any bribe at all. Where's my $5?
Greg, I filed for my taxes in March and still haven't received them yet, so apparently – well, Biden is running the IRS, and he's running the post office, too. So, you know, what can I say?
God love you, Donald, and John Bolt.
That was funny.
Making it happen tonight.
Hey, if it's okay, guys, I do have a little thing I would like to share, which I think is quite appropriate, considering the theme of at least the partial theme of tonight's program.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay?
Yeah, 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the 2000s.
Well, this is a poem that the Lord gave me some time back, and I called it Dancing with the Devil. Now, Satan and Adolf Hitler were standing side by side. The devil said, "Mr. Hitler, I'm going to be your pal and guide. I'm going to show you how it's done now. I'm going to show you how to win. And never mind if people suffer, and never mind if it's a sin." So the two of them went dancing, and they strutted hand in hand. And the Nazis yelled, "Heil Hitler," for they thought all this was grand. But thankfully, the Lord was stronger, and he brought them all to shame. And in everlasting infamy live on their hated names. So if you partner with the devil, better think about the cost. For it may seem as though you've won now, but look again, you'll find you've lost. I'm asking you to be much wiser. Don't be like those who danced and fell. Be true to God for all your days now, and head for heaven not for hell.
Awesome. Head for heaven.
Well,
Amen.
Donald, I had a few thoughts I wanted to share, if it's okay.
Go for it.
This is kind of, you and Greg go all the way back to the beginning, and so this is kind of me reminiscing a little bit, and some of the newer people, and I say newer compared to, you know, me and you. Just some of the reminiscing that I have from the early days and some of the things that are highlights for me. The debates, we've had more than 20 of them, and none of them have been particularly competitive. But we had two of the debates where the opponent actually came to us after the debate and admitted that they lost, which I thought took a lot of grace, a lot of integrity. And one of those two, well, they both admitted that they lost the debate by a wide margin. In fact, the first one was the first debate we had. It was myself against Dale McAlpine, and it was on the subject of purgatory. And he was totally blown away. He had never heard anybody make a biblical defense of purgatory. He didn't believe I was even going to enter scripture into the argument. And he basically came back and admitted that we just mopped the floor with him. But the second one, I think, is even more incredible because not only did he admit that he lost the debate, but Donald just told me that recently, and I didn't know this, that as a result, he converted to the Catholic faith. And that was Cole Nelson. I was blown away by that. On the other hand,
yeah,
that's the upside. Now I want to talk about the downside. We have somebody that surrounded by Catholics and could possibly have been somebody that could have been influenced, and he was driven away from the Catholic Church or from even the possibility of converting into the Catholic Church. This is one of the very earliest shows that we did, way back in like 2009 or 2010. And I'm talking about the tragedy of Billy Gaines. And Billy Gaines was a young man who was, he had a tryout with the Pittsburgh Panthers, and he ran like a 4.22 in the tryouts, which is, Donald, 4.22 is moving. Okay. But tragically, Billy Gaines lost his life falling from the ceiling of that Catholic church. And his father wrote the book, Blood on a Pew, and that was very, very difficult interview. And losing a son is a very, very difficult thing. And another story where that subject came up is when we had Eric Guinness on, who is a brilliant composer. And Eric Guinness wrote the song In Heaven's Arms about losing a child. And I also have lost a son, so I know what that's like. You've covered so many conversion stories, Donald. So many. I mean, we could go all night just talking about conversion stories that we've had. But to me, there's just not one that can match Christy Martin's conversion story. Christy Martin, a former host on Deeper Truth, I was actually messaging her earlier tonight on Facebook. But Christy Martin was very, very high up in Wicca, very high up, high enough up that she could make things happen, as she said. And she was converted. She decided on a lark to go to a Catholic mass and was converted on the spot at the elevation of hosts. She recognized who it was at the elevation, which is pretty, you know, startling thing when you think about it. The Rosary Patrol has changed many lives. And it's the longest-running series on our on Deeper Truth. And Donald, one of our Rosary Patrol members, one of our former Rosary Patrol members, made the Republican National Convention. Talk about that.
one of the Rosary Patrol members did. Are you talking about spoke at the Republican convention?
Yeah.
Sister Byrne. She's from Washington, yeah. D.C. She was a doctor and as a nurse. She in the military. She served our country, and she served many soldiers and their families. And as a sister, she paired with Sister Philip Marie, who's from St. Louis. And those two sisters were joining us. Sister Philip Marie more so, but Sister Byrne, she would join us a number of times to pray the rosary. And Gregory, yes, Gregory?
I'm just going to give you an insight. I think I told you about it at the time. When we used to have those two nuns on there, when I took Father Westland around, and one of the places he wanted me to take him was to because he was an oblate, and his I guess his superior was Monsignor up at cathedral right down there close to the where they cross over into Illinois. They had a Catholic mm-hmm. church there. And when we went to visit him, I was fortunate to be there at the same time as Sister Philip Marie was there and was able to have a lunch with her and Father Weston.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember the Monsignor's name, but it was just such a joy because she had been praying the rosary with us and the other sister that you mentioned.
Sister Byrne.
So
yeah,
how things connect.
So now the next thing I wanted to bring up, which was something that was very, very troubling for me. This was very, very difficult for me, and I know both you, Donald, and you, Greg, are going to remember when this happened. But we did a live broadcast from Jerusalem, and Ross and Margie. They were two of the fixtures of Deeper Truth. Their show was one of our biggest shows, the Catholic Roundtable. And they went on this magnificent trip with Steve Ray to the Holy Land. And they visited the site of the Nativity and the site of Jesus' tomb. And they stood where they would literally be at the foot of the cross. And they stood at the pillars where Jesus was scourged. And they stood in the shepherd's field, and they stood in the field where Jesus fed the 5,000. They saw these magnificent sights, life-changing experience. And it was very difficult for me because they came back from that incredible, life-changing trip. And all they did was fight to the point where it just ripped Deeper Truth apart, and they ended up both leaving. And I would give my right arm to go on a trip like that. And I had a lot of difficulty with that, with the way that they turned against each other after an incredible, magnificent trip like that. Nevertheless, we have for posterity, we have saved in our archives, Ross and Margie from Jerusalem. We've had so many great guests. We've had John Martinoni, John Salsa, and again, Steve Ray, Dave Armstrong, and just right on down the line. The one that stands out to me as my personal favorite, yes, because it's just my personal favorite, was Donna Corey Gibson. I just thought that was such a fantastic show. She's such an incredible talent. And just her music and her talent, that was a wonderful show. And the other one that really stands out for me that we did together, and Ross and Margie were involved in this, and Christy was involved in this, and another a number of other people, but it was essentially mostly me, Donald, and Greg. And Greg, do you remember when we did the case for December 25th, 2 BC? That was just so magnificent milestone
yes.
for me.
Amen. It was good.
And what was so wonderful about it, for you other guys, is that it was done out of curiosity, because every year we hear this argument, well, was Jesus born on December 25th or some other date? And I approached Donald and I said, Donald, let's explore this. Let's Let's find out where the evidence leads. Let's look up what history says. Let's look up all the evidence. Let's follow it wherever it is. If the evidence says that Jesus was born on March 11th, we would have been perfectly fine with that. But we weren't. That's not at all what the evidence showed, and we were really shocked and stunned to find that not only is the December 25th date solid, but it's absolutely bulletproof. It's absolute to the exclusion of any other possible date. Is that fair to say, Greg?
Yes.
And then we found the same thing with April 33 AD as the date of the crucifixion. You have a Friday before Passover. There was an eclipse, and there was an earthquake as recorded by the Romans. The Romans recorded that there was an eclipse and an earthquake that day in Palestine, which is amazing. Some other shows that just stand out to me, I'm just throwing them out, and everybody else can jump on board and spitball. But these are just stories that shows that stand out to me. The consecration of St. Joseph on Mark Kaiser's show I thought was a great thing. The exorcism of Nicola Aubrey, which kind of was the, you know, kind of the influence or the inspiration for what we did tonight. Donald, one of John Carpenter's very first shows was Our Lady of the Snows, and this story had a personal impact for me with my daughter, Melissa, who was going through some tremendous trauma, and because of that trauma, she had aversion to the color red, believe it or not. And so she was still in college in New Jersey, and I was traveling up to pick her up, and she kept saying, "Dad, you know, when are you going to get here? When are you going to get here? You know, there's a, you know, this tremendous snowstorm." Now, Mike, you live in New Jersey, so you know, so some reference to understand. She went to a college, a private Catholic college near Giant Stadium. Okay.
Okay, so, I'm not sure where that is, but
East Rutherford.
It's closer to New York City than I am.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going up the New Jersey Turnpike, and it's rain. Get on the Garden State Parkway, and it's rain. And I'm like, "Listen, where is the snowstorm that you're talking about? Are you sure that it's?" And she says, "Dad, I know what snow looks like." I said, "Melissa, I don't understand. You're telling me the way you're describing this to me, it's like blizzard conditions where you're at, and I haven't seen nary a snowflake." Okay? Would you believe it wasn't until I got literally 5 miles away from her that I hit the snow, and it was exactly like she described. I mean, it was blizzards. My daughter had managed to create her own little personal snowstorm. It was no more than 5 miles wide. But it wasn't just flurries. I mean, it was blizzard, but it was a little 5 mile blizzard. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And I go to pick her up, and she's wearing this bright red coat. And that to me was a sign that her healing was beginning. And from that moment on, I just had a special connection to Our Lady of the Snows. And I did a show with Christy Martin about Our Lady of the Snows, and I was really touched by the fact that one of John Carpenter's first shows was about Our Lady of the Snows. So last thing I wanted to throw out that really touched me, really touched my heart, were the shows that me and you, Donald, did on St. Bernadette and Lourdes. And lo and behold, after we finished them up, I'm in the hospital just a couple of days later with COVID.
COVID, yeah. You had COVID. Yeah. We had three members that had COVID. You, John Carpenter, and Joseph from Colorado Springs. And I'm glad that all three of you, John Carpenter, I think, I don't know, it's hard to tell who had the worst case because John Carpenter was in the ICU for like 15 days almost. Joseph, when he called on, he sounded bad, and he had it for a while too, so. But fortunately, all three of you came through. I got a couple of people. You know, Russell Ford was a prisoner who converted to the Catholic Church. And I'm thankful to him because of the way that he would sponsor people and the importance of the sponsorship. And so I remember sponsoring people all the way back, going all the way back to 1980. I mean, 79, 80. I mean, actually, 79, 80. And so now I add that in my rosary for all those who I have sponsored in the history of the church, those who I've sponsored, those who I've witnessed to. Oh, gosh, I mean, that's untold, unknown. But the Lord, you know, would know everybody. And so I just try to remember them and all the members of Deeper Truth, of course. But we had Richard Lane. He spoke at the first conference that we did, the Marion conference in Springfield. Alex Jones, he was a friend of Steve Ray. Those were
and
the big
and don't
interviews.
Forget about Mike Ruggieri. Don't forget about Mike Ruggieri.
Yep.
In the early days. Yeah, he was. Judy, why don't you jump in? What are some of your favorite memories since you joined Deeper Truth? Special shows that stand out to you in your memory.
Well, first of all, thank you for asking me. I'd like to mention one other person, actually the person who introduced Donald and me on Facebook, and that was Mike Stark. So if Mike, if you're listening, if you ever, you know, tune in to any of these shows, I thank you for that. Yeah, there have been so many. I guess the very first one that has a very deep, special meaning to me was the show that Donald did highlighting the fact that God gives me poetry. And that was such an honor for him to do an entire show about that wonderful gift from the Lord. I absolutely love all of the shows about the Blessed Mother and the Eucharistic miracles. I can't really pick out one and say that's my favorite or this one is my favorite because they're all so wonderful. But the shows that really stand out for me are the ones where we get a little bit off topic and we start talking over one another, just like in any ordinary human conversation, you know, where somebody will chirp in with something and somebody else will chime in. And I'm one of the biggest transgressors in that because I have a tendency I want to share something. I want to share something. Everybody
that was
shut
really
up. I got
very
to
much.
Share something.
Yep, that was really
so
very much the format
wonderful.
Of the round table. The round table with Margie and I said that was very much the format of the round table with Ross and Margie would kind of go like that. Mike, what memories do you have of Deeper Truth, the special memories that
Well, I don't have any particular show that stands out. You know, like from the rest of them. I will give you a little hint. If you ever wanted to meet Donald Hartley in person and you can't pick him out of a crowd, there's an easy way to do it. There's a real easy way to pick Donald Hartley out of a crowd, and that's that he is
the hairy one with the big feet.
I was going to say the one with the cowboy hat and the fringe jacket. He'd be the only one.
Fringe jacket, yeah.
I had
the great pleasure of meeting Donald and Greg and Mark Kaiser at the Marion Conference back in the summer of 2017. I think that was in Boonville, Missouri. Uh-huh. And oh my gosh, to be with those three guys, you know. Unfortunately, John Carpenter could not be there, but I was in pig's heaven, let me tell you. Being able to meet these people in person, and they have brought so much richness and fullness of the faith for me. And, oh, my gosh. it was a highlight of my life, one of the highlights
the
of
only,
my life.
The only members that I've actually met face-to-face so far were Susan Olowski. You remember Susan Ann, Donald?
Right. Yeah, I do.
And also Christy Martin. And, of course, I was married to one of the members, too, but we won't open that wound. Greg, you bleach my mind, Greg. Which memories do you have?
Oh, I remember, to me it was Our Lady brought me there when I was praying about, you know, with the first team that the bishop and the priest after my first Marian conference asked me to form a Marian association and ask if I would direct it. And I told the priest that if he would get me 8 or 10 people that have been consecrated to Jesus through the Sorrowful Immaculate Heart of Mary, that that we would form the first team. And I told him that night that it was what we were going to do was so much bigger than Springfield, Missouri, and the United States. It was going to happen that it would go around the world. And Donald and you, John, very, very instrumental in that, because it was not too long after that that y'all came into my life with this opportunity to take the good Lord around the world with our with the Blog Talk Radio Deeper Truth. And that was, it was meant to be. And it was, I've had a great joy with every one of the ones that the core team that's been listening tonight, and John and Don, Don and John, both as they embraced me as I came into the fold, and it's allowed us a venue, and that's my greatest memory is just that welcoming atmosphere from the very first moment to, you know, to be able to say to Don and John, who the good Lord put in my life as servant spiritual warrior brothers, to basically say, go get them, Tiger. And you all been doing that and touching souls around the world. And that has impacted me so much. And there's been so many beautiful memories without getting into specifics, you know. But, you know, I think one of the ones most recently, John, is one you mentioned because it took a little bit tilt on things when we did the exorcism of Nicola Aubrey. And I think that if we get that out to people, I think it'll touch a lot of souls, along with other Eucharistic miracles we do, and the journey with Mary, et cetera, everything. Every one of our shows has, I can't remember the name of the one on Wednesday nights, but it's another convert that
William Hemsworth,
And William, he's done a great job also.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think I have to say that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying they brought him into the.
There we go. We go doing exactly what Judy was talking over each other. you know, for me, guys, I just got to tell you. I mean, I said it before, and I got to say it again. You know, to me, the conflict between what I was trying to do. I mean, I had dreams, I had visions in mind when I first formed this thing, and when me and Donald got started on it, Donald will tell you, I was full of fire, and we were raring to go, and we had all these plans and all these things that we were going to do together. I was not prepared for the way that my life could fall completely apart. I was not prepared for that. and the memory that I will cherish for the rest of my life is that you two stuck by me that whole time. Even when I was not on the air and I was not contributing to the blog, you guys were still in touch with me. You were still reaching out to me, wondering how I was doing. And I mean, Donald even told me, Greg, that he told me that you were emotionally impacted when you found out my brother Mike died with his rosary in his hand, that that had an emotional mm-hmm. impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chrissy said, what a wonderful way to meet God when you're already speaking to him. So you guys stuck by me when I went through hell that I couldn't have even imagine that I would go through, and I'm still going through it. To know that I'm making it through and that there's going to be peace on the other side someday. But you guys stuck by me when nobody else did, not even my own family. And you can't put a price on that. And it showed me the measure of the two guys that you are. And I just can't say thank you enough.
Well, that's,
I would like to thank somebody, if it's okay. I'd like to thank Mike Sheeran for mentioning me tonight. Mike, are you still there? Are you still on the show?
I'm still here.
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that. And I want people to know that, you know, Mike mentions that I helped to bring him back to Catholicism and into the Deeper Truth program and everything. But I got to tell you, it was Mike who really kept reaching out to me. At one point, I got so flustered with him, I unfriended him. I basically said, leave me alone, because I felt like he was yes-butting me, you know, every time I would say something about the Catholic faith. And so I broke off all contact with him, and yet, after a while, he started, you know, contacting me again, and I tried to ignore him, and, you know, God said, you can't ignore him. And so finally, you know, we got back together, and oh, my gosh, you know, Mike, you have been a blessing in my life.
Well, the same goes for you.
Yeah.
So I thank you for that.
We're keeping a Deeper Truth tradition. We're talking over each other.
Yeah, there you go. And God bless everybody that participates in these broadcasts. God bless everybody who just listens in and learns something. If you ever, you know, are tempted to participate, I hope you do. It will change your life in a way that you can't even imagine. These people are, they're super. You want superheroes? I know a whole bunch of them. Besides my husband, I know Donald, and I know Greg, and I know the two Johns, and I know Mike, and, you know, and Kathy, my darling Kathy. I hope she's listening.
Or will.
All superheroes. Superheroes. They don't wear capes, but they wear big hearts and souls filled with the Holy Spirit.
What Donald has shown me more than anything else is, you know, it's one thing to read something in the Bible. It's one thing to apprehend something on an intellectual level as a spiritual truth. And I would say in that sense, I apprehended these things years ago, even as a young man. But to apprehend it on an intellectual level and to bring it down into your soul where you live are two very, very different things. And that is that fight of the will against the intellect. And Donald has enabled me to get to the level where I understand that absolute misery and absolute joy can exist in the same person at the same time. And it sounds like a contradiction, but it's not a contradiction. It's a paradox. Because we know that we're just passing through. This is not our home. And I'll leave you with a quote from John Paul II, and he said, "We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song." So when you're stuck in Good Friday, you're thinking about Easter Sunday, and that's where that joy comes from. And I'm not out of the woods as far as the things that are going on in my life. You guys know I haven't made a secret about it. Do I miss my kids? You bet I miss my kids. Do I want to see my grandkids? You bet I want to see my grandkids. But I'm powerless to fix that situation right now. But what I'm not powerless to do is get my rosary out and put it in our Lord's hand and pray for their souls, pray for their conversion, and trust. Trust for him, because I know one thing for sure. I don't know what he's going to do to fix this situation, but I know for sure who's not going to fix it, and that's me. Because every time that I've attempted to fix it, I make it work. I have an unbelievable and uncanny gift for taking a bad situation and making it into a disaster with very little effort at all on my part. Everybody's got a talent. That's my superhero talent. My super ability is to mess things up to the point where they're beyond recognition. But our Lord takes broken vessels like me. He takes broken vessels like me and does his and does his work. And boy, we got plenty of evidence in the scriptures of that. There's plenty of broken vessel. I mean, Moses was the meekest man on earth, and God said, "Oh, you're going to go in and talk to Pharaoh," and Moses was like, "What? Me? You want me to talk to Pharaoh?" But God doesn't choose the equipped. He equips the chosen. And it's just part of the wonderful, unfathomable mystery of who he is. So we're actually in the archive section. So why don't we do this, Dr. Gregory, if you would be so kind as to close us with a prayer in celebration of 2,000 episodes, and hopefully we'll have 2,000 more.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, let us set the world ablaze for you through your mother, who is our gate of heaven. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Holy Mother, put your mantle of protection around everyone listening, all of the team here. Give them what they need to glorify your Son and bring souls to him. All they need also to defend his bride, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Some great warriors, and all of us are still learning and will learn, and hopefully until we die, with an insatiable hunger to know the fullness of truth, which exists only in your Son's bride, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Help us to shout from the rooftops to proclaim everywhere we can with everyone that comes into our path, Lord. Let us not be shy. Let us not hold back for any reason that we can rationalize. But give us what we need from the Holy Spirit, the strength we need to stand. And if necessary, both white and red martyrdom in honor and glory for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So the other day, me and Donald were talking about Michael Card, and he said, "Well, how do you know Michael Card? Well, are you kidding? He's one of my all-time favorite Christian singers." And so we're going to end with Michael Card. My all-time favorite song. I've loved this song for 25 years, and it's one of my all-time favorite Christian songs. Definitely my favorite Michael Card song. That's where we're going to end it tonight. God bless all of you, and good night.
Good night, everyone. Good
night.
God bless you.
Good night.
Seems I've imagined him all of my life as the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's only wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said the demons to blame. But God in the form of his angry young man the fool and the open.